Sinisippi Centers is here to help. We're continuing to operate by taking advantage of technology, and we're able to use video and phone for the majority of our services at this time. And we appreciate that our clients have embraced this new way of receiving care and that they're happy to help prevent the spread of coronavirus this way. So if you need services, call us first at 800-242-7642. As always, if you're in crisis, call that number again, 800-242-7642, anytime. Our crisis staff are on call 24 hours a day.
And it is indeed a pleasure to, I can say this again, the owner of that voice in studio, Andy Jackson from Sinisippi Centers. It is good to see you.
It's good to be seen. We have to put that asterisk in there with some precautions because we don't want people to think that just we're throwing caution to the wind and, you know, doing, I don't know what, but yeah.
I was saying to myself, who is that masked man?
I think the
man?
Rona has affected my sense of humor. I can't think of anything funny to say.
Who is that masked man?
Yes. I always did like the Lone Ranger.
Well, at some point, I'm sure you consider yourself a Lone Ranger.
I always thought Tonto should get a union, though. I thought he was underpaid and underappreciated. Like many sidekicks.
Well, how long's it been? March?
My gosh, maybe February.
February's the last time, but we've had good contact over phone.
Yes. Yeah, so we've been doing a lot of that at Sinisippi, using phone and video technology to provide services, and it's gone quite well, and I think, you know, people accept it for obvious reasons. But I think we found even a few folks prefer it and do better with telehealth, as we call it. And my guess is, and I've talked to some clinicians about it, you know, we're all a little more comfortable in our home environment, aren't we? And so there's just a few folks that really just prefer to do that from home, and I think it makes them feel more comfortable, and I think it's a better experience for them. And so we think that we're going to see some, even after the coronavirus, we think we'll see a little bit more use of telehealth moving forward. And I think it's a good thing for rural areas, even with public transportation. Transportation is still always going to be a challenge for some. So telehealth is the solution to that. You can travel electronically and get there just fine. And so we hope we'll see more of that going forward, because it's a good thing. We've needed more telehealth in rural areas across the nation for a long time.
Yeah, and then you think about, well, there's a season coming up that might impede some travel that could be very beneficial.
Yes, the staff did make mention of that the other day. I guess there's no such thing as snow days anymore.
Those, no.
They know we can work from home now, so...
Yeah, if you say, yeah, what are you going to go on, virtual and say, I'm calling in sick? Well, you look great. What's the problem?
Exactly, yeah. You're going to have to come up with unique strategies to prevent the Zoom video from working. I'm having troubles with my webcam. That looks like duct tape.
I'm sure
it's a whole new world.
I'm sure a lot of that could be happening. Hey, not too long ago, we talked, of course, we're talking about Recovery Month, but not too long ago, we talked about the Women's Recovery Home, which is now up and running.
The Women's Recovery Home is up and running. Obviously, the coronavirus kind of derailed us a little bit, not only in opening it, but then also in just how many people we would bring in at one time and how we would go about all of that. So I think we're still, I haven't talked to our recovery home managers in the past week or so, but I think we're still in a staged approach where we're not at full capacity just yet, because we're kind of bringing them in one or two, I think, at a time, something like that. Don't quote me on the number. And so I don't think we're quite full yet, but we certainly will be. The need is out there, just like the men's recovery home. The need is out there. There's usually a waiting list for men's recovery home. And once we get established, once we get, I think, out of the coronavirus, I think we're going to see that with the women's recovery home.
Well, we're 18 days into the month, but September is recovery month.
It is. Every September, the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration, or SAMHSA, as we like to abbreviate it, well, they do too, sponsors Recovery Month. So like anything else, and anybody that's listened to us talk about this knows, we just kind of want to increase the awareness a little bit and the understanding of mental illnesses and substance use disorders. And we celebrate people who are in recovery. That, you know, going through any chronic disease is not easy. Mental health, or mental illness, I should say, and substance use disorders are just like anything like diabetes or heart disease or anything like that. You're going to the doctor more, you're taking some medications, you're doing some other things. to help control your symptoms and have a better quality of life. And really, these things are no different. So we want people to think of that. You know, treatment, just like diabetes, just like heart disease, treatment does work. It's a chronic disease. You'll always have it. But treatment does work and recovery is possible. So, and then this year, the 2020 theme is celebrating, as we are today, celebrating connections, which is very appropriate for the times we're in because it's been a very disconnected time in some ways. Some people have been even more connected with their children for a while, so they've had a different experience. But I think in general, I think we've been a little more disconnected from coworkers and other people. And so those are very important. We're very social people, and that's very important to our mental wellness is to make sure that we're staying connected and plugged in with one another and supporting one another in our lives, not just if you have a mental illness or substance use disorder. We all need that support from family, friends, coworkers, all that.
You know, generally in recovery, whether it's the day a person made a decision or they're looking at a 1 year, 10 year celebration, something is held, cakes are made, and everybody gets together. We can't do that this year.
No, unfortunately. And Sinisippi normally has a recovery celebration, and that's one of the casualties of this situation. And across the nation, there would have been many, 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 many events. And so obviously due to COVID-19, the gatherings have been either canceled, which in our case, we didn't hold it, or severely curtailed. So we're hoping, we keep hearing things that maybe we'll be able to get back to normal after beginning, at least after the first of the year. It depends on when the vaccine's available and other factors. But we really hope to be kind of back to normal next year, starting about, I'm going to guess May, June timeframe, things might be starting to get back to normal.
Do you think dealing with this and being in lockdown, do you think this is increasing somebody if they already have maybe some, psychological or mental issues? Is this making it worse?
Hell yes. And I say that very much on purpose to emphasize that, I think, for everybody. In fact, that was one of our focuses, especially very early on, was not just to where we as an organization make sure that we could stay connected with clients, provide them services. I'm going to guess clinicians might have even checked in on clients and those kinds of things. But the general public, I mean, you and I have talked, we all share stress. And oh my gosh, the stress that I think a lot of us have gone through. Like I said, I mean, everybody's experienced it different. But people who have children, who those children were suddenly home and they had to teach them and they had to juggle work and homeschooling and all of these things, their stress level went way up. I think for a person like me, I mean, I was fine, but still you go through that isolation because I was working from home and really, I mean, nobody, my wife was considered essential, so she was working. So it's pretty much just me all day long talking to nobody but the dogs. So I experienced the opposite of that with the isolation, which can, for some people, lead to a depression or other things. We've gone through a lot during COVID-19. So it's been, and it's impacted a lot of things. There have probably been more crisis calls. Early on, there definitely were more crisis calls, people in crisis. There were a lot of bad things happening that were impacting people, particularly early on. But I think that continues. In fact, we even did a video. What a lot of people are going through is really a grief process, and you don't just go through it in a straight line. You skip back and forth between the steps, and we actually did a video on this on our YouTube channel. And even still now, I think we feel a loss of normalcy, right? So if nothing else, we all went through, I think, probably all of us, some sort of grief process. Even the parents with the kids home were like, well, this is not norm. This is not quote unquote normal life where we've lost that. So I think a lot of people went through that, especially.
Absolutely. And we'll find our way out. So I see in Facts to Consider, 60% of rural America lives in areas with a shortage of treatment professionals.
Yeah, a lot of those resources tend to gravitate toward the urban and suburban areas, whereas here we're a rural community and we don't tend to get as many of the resources. We would love to. We would love to serve the entire need, but that is true. Behavioral health care in particular is very much often underfunded, or the funding is restricted in a way that there's not maybe the flexibility that there used to be. Part of that's a good thing. It's accountability and oversight, but it also can result in a little inflexibility and being able to tailor your services a little bit better to your local area. But there's a lot of reasons why that's true. And yeah, we are in a shortage. We're considered in a health professional, I think it's HPSA, health professional shortage area, not just for behavioral health, but also for medical as well. Because of that, you get higher pay in urban areas, just a variety of reasons why, particularly psychiatrists and then other treatment professionals as well.
One of the things I've been talking a lot about lately and now really pushing it with September 30th coming up, does the 2020 census affect Senesippi centers at all?
That's a good question. I haven't even gotten that far to think about that yet. I think probably not. Okay. I don't think so unless some sort of funding is based on population. And the four counties that we serve, each are, I think, in different phases of either population growth or decline. It's probably a wash for us if any kind of funding is based on population, which yeah. some of it might be. So I don't think so. It'd be interesting to see. I know Illinois overall is losing population to our neighboring states. Therefore, the tax base is shrinking and we're already in deficit. Whether or not the graduated income tax passes, COVID-19 impacts, what we could be looking at is some sort of huge state deficit of some kind, perhaps. I know the governor has already said something about 5% to maybe 10% cuts to all agencies. Those kinds of things will definitely have impacts on behavioral health. It tends to do that.
That's what I was wondering, kind of the trickle-down thing.
Yeah, it's more that loss of tax base, I think, coupled with everything else that's going on. The state of Illinois has been in a financial crisis for 30 to 40 years, and during that entire time, behavioral health has never really been probably fully funded, particularly in the rural areas.
Now, Recovery Month actually has its own website, I'm sure it can be accessed any time of the year.
It does. Recoverymonth.org. It's a great resource to go to. Another great resource is Senesippi.org. We've got a huge links page, a big first section, and we're going to keep it up as long as COVID-19 is going. We've got a COVID-19 section, but you scroll below that, and we've got our traditional links that we've always had there. And then, like I mentioned before, the YouTube page. If you like me and you like watching videos to learn, I love that. I watch probably I watch YouTube almost exclusively. I don't think I watch any other kind of TV. We have a channel there. It's got a bunch of playlists that you can inform yourself, and recovery is one of those.
So up on the YouTube, if you just search Senesippi Centers, you get the full list?
Yep. You should. Well, you get to the channel, and then okay. If you're familiar with YouTube, you should know how to navigate into the playlists and see all those and find out. There'll be a playlist on substance use disorders, depression, just all kinds of topics.
Now, I know we're doing everything, counseling and advisements virtually. Is there any time that your facilities or offices are open?
Yes, we are. We're having a little bit more in-person appointments than, say, we were during the depths of COVID-19. We've opened up a little bit, but we're also looking at those numbers that seem to be increasing a little bit in our counties. And so we kind of stopped that progression to being more open. But there are certain appointments. Some clients don't do well with oral medications and have to have injectables. Obviously, those folks come in and get those from us. And there's been a few other things where an in-person appointment was better than using telehealth, and those folks have come in. So we've opened up a little bit more, but it's still the vast majority is still being done through a phone call or a video conference right now. So we ask that you call 800-242-7642. That's also our crisis number if you're in crisis. But call that number and to make that appointment and to come in. So.
Well, through all of this, I know you like to throw a little wood and light it on fire and smoke some meat. Is that the only diversion you've been occupying yourself with?
There is a brisket in the freezer right now that's waiting to be smoked on my Weber smoker. Yeah, it's funny. Almost sounded weird. People that don't know what you were talking about at first, but what is he talking about? We're still working on the pulled pork. I mean, we had some pulled pork tacos with some barbacoa sauce on it, man, last night. So
Andy's actually in a smoker's club.
Well, yeah, it's a group on Facebook. There's a group on Facebook for everything.
And, of course, you jumped in on that.
Of course I jumped in on that. It's a fun hobby. Something you can do while working from home very easily without it interfering with work, mind you. I did the pork butt, I think, during a work day, which, because you don't really need to tend it much. It's not like when you're... You know, barbecue. If anybody ever has a slightest interest, I would definitely get into smoking because, boy, the flavor profiles, right? If you're into flavors, if you're into lots of different unique flavor profiles, holy moly, right? Mm-hmm. Especially on something as simple as a pulled pork. So,
mine was apple smoked ribs on.
I'm going to have to maybe come in on non-work time and we'll talk longer about smoking.
We could do a whole show.
We could do a whole show on it. We could do a whole show on that.
Take up a whole morning.
You could call me and I go, hey, you know, it's 4 hours in. And
but then you're going to...
That would be boring, though.
But you're going to have to bring it into the parking lot so we can sample it.
There you go. It'd go fast. It's a lot of fun. It's a fun hobby to get into. Feeds the family, too.
Celebrate September Recovery Month. Go to recoverymonth.org.
And you can social distance while smoking quite well, too, by the way.
Listen to you. Recovery Month, September, recoverymonth.org. And for any other information, also jump on the Senesippy's YouTube channel or go to senesippy.org.
Yeah, and again, just a reminder to those that are catching us tail end, Senesippy is still operating, as we were alluding to, using a lot of technology. Yeah. It was an amazing thing. I don't know if you got a few more seconds.
Yeah, go ahead.
It was really weird because we were kind of forced into getting a new phone system. The old phone system, it wasn't doing it no more. So we got one that was kind of, everybody's getting these business phones that are kind of internet-based. So we had just finished with that rollout. Coronavirus hits. We have to all go work from home. And all you have to do is take your phone home and plug it into your router, and it's just like you're at work. And if we hadn't had that, I don't know what would have happened. So, so little things like that can really complicate things. It was an amazing transition. We transitioned kudos to our staff. We transitioned in less than 24 hours from an agency where we're seeing clients 99.9% in person to an agency seeing 99.9% of clients via technology in 24 hours, less than 24 hours. It was absolutely amazing to see, and I think that story repeats all over again, you know, across the country, millions of times.
I like hearing those because instead of panic, there was resolve. You
know? It just, yeah, get her done. I mean, there wasn't time. Mm-hmm. There wasn't time to panic. It was just, we got to do this, and we just got to get it done, so let's just do it. So, yeah, it was an amazing transition, and it's one of those behind the scenes things that people don't see, but it's just amazing that the clinicians were able to transition so quickly, and we must have had to have gotten a hold of webcams pretty quick and distributed more of those, and you know how we overcame and adapted was pretty amazing. So kudos to the staff because they're the ones that deserve the credit for getting that done, being flexible, being creative, being innovative, and doing it.
Well, it is good to see you again, my friend.
And you too.
We do it again next month.
We definitely will. Fantastic. With the precautions, I'll bring my bubble suit again.
Who is that masked man?
Who's the masked man?
Andy Jackson, Senesippy Centers. Thank you so much.